and that's my point is, have we, I don't know if I could buy insurance on your float. I don't know that. And I don't know if anybody's ever checked into that. I found that today, and mostly that's private harbors, you know, that's not a municipality harbor. I just don't know if you could do that or not. And I'm just wondering if we could look into that to see if, I mean, can I spend $500 a year just to, you know, and also most of the floats have two people on one float,
right?
Can we go to those two people and go, okay, this is your, here's an option for you two people. We will, you guys buy insurance for our float. Now you're good, because if her boat burns up and burns mine up, and we burn that float up, we have insurance on that float. I don't know if that's an option or not.
No idea. We could definitely explore that.
We could look at it. I really doubt it. It's kind of a funky concept for a public entity. I would imagine the insurance right would remain with the owner of the property, which would be us in this case. And I don't know that this approach is, it's mainly, yes, it is to protect our floats, but a lot of it's emphasized on the salvage. Just because, you know, a 58-foot seiner, for example, that goes down in our harbor, it's going to be $100,000 or more to get rid of that. And that's barring pollution and other things that are going to, and that could be pervasive. It could expend the whole harbor, get into people's tide lands, then you got other suits coming to you. So,
well, here's the thing, though. You can't protect against everything. It's impossible. Mm-hmm. Okay? I don't care if you have a $50,000 thing to protect our floats, or you have a $50 billion thing. You're not going to protect it no matter what. If there's an EPA problem, and what you just said, and it goes out to Tideland stuff and all that stuff, they got to stop it somewhere. And so I'm not really going to go down that rabbit hole, because that's crazy. You're never going to combat that. I don't know. I just think that $300,000, after doing a little bit of research on my own, seems to be a lot to protect what we're trying to protect. And I'm sorry that you're never going to protect salvage. $300,000, and no disrespect to whoever owns ADAC, but $300,000 ain't going to touch that. Mm-hmm. I mean, at all.
No.
So, I mean, where do you, if you're going to go by footage, then what I would do is go by, you have to look at a footage of, you know, my 10-foot punt is not going to put any damage to your thing, but a 100-foot tug is.
Or tonnage, go by tonnage.
You know, I don't know.
And that is definitely a concern. So, you know, they had the one, that 80-footer sink in Juneau. It cost them $1 million. It was in a shallow harbor. Heritage Harbor is 65 to 70 feet deep. You start adding that up, that can exponentially get more expensive. So how would you, I mean, what would you ever charge? I mean,
right.
Or what would you require? So I don't think you're ever going to get to that point, but you would lessen some of the burden.
And this is the reason why other communities have struggled with this and don't have it on their books, because... And when you do ask people if they have boat insurance, you have to ask them if they have the salvage rider. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the people don't. Assemblymember DeBoard?
So just to kind of go back with what Assemblymember Powell was saying, like it being about $4,000, I dropped my full coverage with State Farm and with the liability only for $300,000, and it was $75 a year. So we're just looking at liability only strictly in this. So the liability only is relatively affordable. It's when you get into insuring the boat itself is when it gets extremely expensive. And I will say, too, that I just assumed that it would cover my boat if it sunk. And then my insurance agent didn't know the answer, and it took her a month to get back and say, yeah, by the way, it's not. That's an extra policy that you have to get. So it's kind of crazy that you would think that your liability insurance wouldn't cover your boat sank without a special rider, but that's kind of the standard. So I had a little bit of heartache with it, that part, but then since we have number two that kind of covers us, that if you can't get it, if it's too expensive, there is kind of a get-out-of-jail-free card by being able to somewhat, and like the public comment said, that money would stay locally to take care of it. And we'll never touch it, but it will put a dent in it.
Yeah, it won't fully cover.
Yeah.
So
excuse me.
Go ahead. So Assemblymember Powell.
The other one is what you said, and I would like to hear from, I mean, you never said anything about raising rates to cover this that I've heard, okay, right, until tonight. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you spark that, I think we're going to have a hell of a lot more people in this room than we have right now, okay, because they're going to all start screaming that my boat's unsinkable, there's no fire hazard. There's going to be a crazy amount of people here going, don't raise our rates because of something that might happen.
Right.
Okay, which I'm sorry, the world is that way. Everything might happen. But that's an idea too, and maybe that's something we might want to go down and look at too, is what we would have to do. I mean, you're looking at footage then instead of, basically you're looking at footage by raising rates, not just a boat, $300,000, you know what I'm saying? And like Mr. DeBoer said over here, you got a liability thing. Well, your liability doesn't cover hardly anything from what I could find. I mean, you got to have all kinds of, like if you want sinking, and then all of a sudden, you might as well just buy it full coverage insurance because it's going to get up there in that price. I don't know the answer, but I just don't want to price people out of mooring in this harbor is what I don't want to do. And then we talked about float houses, and as far as I'm concerned, you have more potential problems with somebody living in a house for fire and problems than you do of a boat sitting there by itself. I mean, that's a given. You don't ever hear most of the time. Well, the other issue is, if you look at what happened with the fires that were on fire that did burn down and stuff, and you talk to the people that knew those boats were there, I know for a fact one of those boats had a heater in the boat that was not a marine anything at all, caught the boat on fire, and I mean that's a diligence on us to make sure that whatever someone's put in their boat, and I know this would be a pain, but in the wintertime, inspect the boats what they're heating with. Because if they're heating with one of those little Mr. Buddy things or whatever like that, you could be in a major problem quick. Because I mean, that's a potential fire there. And you have the ability to say no to anything in the harbor.
Yeah.
I mean, we've talked about this, and I know Greg's sitting in the audience here. We've talked about the illegal chargers that have been put in boats. I mean, we need to do our due diligence also to inspect vessels that are in our harbor to make sure people are, if we don't have a code, let's write one. You know what I mean? No, I appreciate this being brought forward because this is something we need to discuss and debate. I just don't know if this is the right amount of monies to look at.
Yeah, those are great considerations, and mm-hmm. Do not take me bringing this forward as it's my personal opinion, because it's not. But I think, structurally, this offers the best solution we can come up with. If you want to go through with this framework, I would suggest maybe starting at $100,000, and we could look at a tier structure over time. Maybe that's something to look at. If you don't, then maybe a self-insured risk fund, whereby you're pretty much doing the same thing, either, like 3% or 5% of people's moorage is actually restricted for the purpose of a salvage vessel or covering the cost of liability that we encounter, whether that's repairing mm-hmm. damaged floats or replacing them.
Yeah.
So one more issue that you just came up with, and like I said, about buying a bond or going with another person that's sitting on the same finger, why couldn't we come up with an idea of something like that to say, my boat and Mr. Austin's boat is tied on the same finger, and we buy the bond through the city. We pay the city the $500 a year or $300 a year for the insurance of that float in case something happens.
I think the administrative function of that would never work out. It would just be way too complicated.
All right.
And then if you have people change stalls, and then you have to...
And then you'd have one person that can afford it this year, but the other guy can't afford it this year, so we'd have issues.
Just ideas.
Yeah, I know, I get it.
We think of options.
Yeah.
And then if the Harbor Department gets insurance on their own, we all know insurance rates constantly are increasing,
mm-hmm.
which means that we not only put that burden on the
enterprise
fund and the ratepayer, but then we have to raise rates just to keep up with inflation on our infrastructure. So,
which
that's kind of dicey.
One example, we don't insure many of our floats. We actually don't insure any of our floats. We do insure like the barge ramp and some major docks, like the old mill dock, which is, you know, not in the best condition. $20,000 to insure that thing. So it adds up. If you were to insure all the harbors, we'd be at a net loss with our current rates substantially.
Exactly.
And we got, you know, just for perspective, we got $2 million in the ports and harbor fund expected after FY25 spending. That's not very much when we're looking at recapitalizing a whole new Wrangell Harbor Basin. We have a 50-year-old barge ramp, and that doesn't really prepare us well for addressing a really major issue that could be sucked up pretty quickly. So,
I wonder if it could be something as simple as putting another fee on the a very nominal fee on the use of the harbor. You would get the transient traffic and then have that put into a dedicated fund.
I think my perspective on that is kind of like Assemblymember Dalrymple. We start adding on these fees and add-ons, and it gets, for one, it gets complicated to somebody that's coming to town. It's complicated enough for us to manage, complicated for the harbor to administer. It should just be a part of the rate, and the assembly restrict a percentage of, essentially net income each period. We kind of talked about the same thing for fleet recapitalization at the fire department, you know.
We could do that. I just, insurance rates is something we can't control. And once we go down that rabbit hole, I mean, we can, to a certain extent, control the fees, the increase in fees, if we've got a bad year. And as far as the economic situation of the population in Wrangell, we're all on a fixed income. Everybody is hurting. And this may not be the best time to consider increasing any kind of fees other than what we have to do.
Well, we've brought this to the Port Commission twice and the Assembly twice, so it's and actually I think the Port Commission's been working on it for years. That's generally the sentiment, is if it's not an obvious choice, I always have the conventional wisdom, if you have to think too hard on something, then it's probably not a good idea.
Exactly.
I would rather just handle it separately than bouncing this back each time.
Yeah.
Madam Mayor.
Assembly Member Dalrymple.
Maybe just to put my perspective on it, I know this has been it took so long because it wasn't easy, and it's greatly improved from at least the last time I was involved with it. So I think that the Port Commission did a great job here. Mm-hmm. They put hard work into it, and they presented something. I mean, you know, it's debatable, the amounts and things like that, but to me, the overall objective here was to give the Harbor Master a tools to manage liability and deal with the derelict vessel issue, which we've been struggling with. And that's the real need to me, is that we need to get ahead of that, and this does that. Now, the details within it, I think you could finesse, but that's my point, is that Steve now would have the tools to manage this more effectively than we've had in the past.
Right. With the maneuverability aspect, I think you could, that helps you manage the derelict vessel. We still have a problem, though, of the occasional fire, you know, that Harbor Master may not have any knowledge of until it happens, or any idea that there's a potential out there for that. And I know fire, to me, represents a lot more destruction than a sinking. It could potentially. Yes, Assemblymember Morrison.
I was just going to say, if we're not going to require insurance, but we still need the money to deal with sunken vessels, moving derelict vessels, environmental damage. It appears to me the only fair thing to do is to assess vessels by foot length a certain amount of money, and that amount of money goes into a separate, call it a...
salvage fund? Or?
Yeah, call it a salvage fund or something that, like Chris says, can be invested. If someone wants to carry insurance, yay, that's a wonderful thing. But if they don't, the fairest thing to do is to charge everybody equally per foot.
Whether they have insurance or not.
Whether they have insurance or not. Because apparently you can't have, to insure something against sinking, you have to have a rider.
Yeah, and I don't know how many people do have that rider.
One way to look at this ordinance, too, is it does present an option. And if we did apply a really reasonable surcharge, I mean, say it's 20 cents a foot, which is even less than Juno's 31 or 37 mm-hmm. cents, that's still fairly reasonable, and it gives folks an option, and you could recoup that. So either you have a fully insured harbor, tenants in your harbor, or they're paying that, and that money could be restricted for the purpose of salvage. I think that's overall the best case scenario, because you're still providing that option. And then maybe to Dave's point, you reduce the level of coverage to $100,000 until we can provide better justification for three. Mm-hmm. But I think the assembly would just have to commit to keeping that a really reasonable surcharge for opting out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What about the $300,000 threshold? What does the assembly think about that? Because it says certificate of insurance evidencing that they have liability coverage to include salvage in an amount not less than $300,000. I mean, assembly, are you of the thinking that we can amend this tonight, or do you want to think about this some more?
Well, the thing that I have a problem with is to include salvage. So do we have that? I mean, I don't know if my insurance can include salvage.
Yeah.
I have no idea. I just don't know because I'm not an insurance writer. I mean, I have no idea what my insurance includes for my, you know, $2,000 a year. Does it, I know it includes sinking, but does it, the salvage, is it, I mean, if that thing goes down 60 feet, are they going to come in here and salvage my boat? I don't know that. I mean, is that another rider? I mean, we have too many unknowns here to say this, you know, to say $300,000 to include salvage. I mean, you might insure a boat for $300,000 and you have a whole lot of add-ons to get to meet this ordinance.
And I don't know the answer to that either.
And it's going to vary from each agency and policy, mm-hmm. right? Just on the composition.
I know.
But I wonder how many of our harbor users have the salvage rider.
I wouldn't know.
I'll bet not many.
I don't think there's many. Assemblymember Otteson.
I called today just to get a kind of go over what my dad's North River would be. And he has full coverage. He doesn't have the $300,000 liability, but he does have salvage and like if it does sink, the environmental coverage as part of his full coverage.
So he does have the salvage. Okay. What's the thinking, assembly? I hate to kind of, I mean, we can amend this, but if we vote it down, we cannot have this same thing to come before us. I believe it's a 6-month waiting period. Assemblymember Dalrymple.
Madam Mayor, one of the things that I struggle with here is just insurance, period. I don't like insurance. It's always these hidden things, and if you really get into it, it's going to go to court anyway. And, you know, just track any of this. So the further away we could get from insurance, the better. And I think that's what everybody here, we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one of my fears on the administrative part, was now the harbor department is going to be some kind of a insurance expert to validate these things and stuff. Again, you don't want to do that. So it's more appealing to me to go back to the fee assessment if it's needed, and I think it is needed. Mm-hmm. And that's in control. It's simple math, if you will, and still achieves the same objectives, I think.
Yeah. In other words, look at it in another way of assess fee, but if they have salvage insurance,
maybe
that omit that fee for. I mean, we could look at it that way.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you take a 30-foot boat and add a 50-cent fee to it, that's $15 a month. So, if you can't have insurance, $15 a month. I mean, that's pretty cheap. Mm-hmm. I think. I mean, so if you have the insurance, like, I mean, I know I'm full covered and I have, if mine sinks, I get it, right? So I'm pretty sure with full coverage, I'm probably salvaged too.
Yeah.
But if I have that and I could show that to the harbor, that fee is not something I get. If I can't show that to the harbor, that to me, I think 31 cents a foot is very reasonable, or actually not even enough. But, and the only reason I say 50 is because Mr. Ellis said that. And he wanted south of 50. So, I mean, I was just thinking 50 cents, and we could amend this to say something like that. I just have a problem with the $300,000. I mean, if we're going to, because we're looking for liability. We're not looking for anything but liability to the harbor, right? I mean, that's what we're looking for.
Actual, recouping actual costs. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we're never going to recoup the cost of a 100-foot boat going down. It ain't going to happen. So if we're looking at the in-between boats from, 70 to 30, I mean, that's, I just don't know if that's, if we're looking at liability only, I just don't see going over $100,000 for liability costs. Because you're never going to recoup a 100-foot boat. It's not going to happen. It's going to be millions. Just like that 85-foot tug that went up there was $1 million. You're not going to even get close to that. I don't care. If you kept this 50 cents a fee for everybody in the harbor for the next 20 years, you're not going to get there. So we're never going to do that. We're just looking to offset a little bit of the cost. That's what we're doing?
I think that's where we're headed. What about this assembly? We pump this back to the borough manager, and we restructure the code to start out with a fee. A nominal fee per foot, linear foot, and then have an exception to that fee with $100,000 liability insurance that includes salvage. What about that approach?
Madam Mayor, I really think that this is doing the same thing in effect, right? So you can reduce it to $100,000 in this. And either you have that or you pay the fee. Mm-hmm. And if you're 29 feet or below, you don't pay anything. You could get rid of the restriction for footage, too. You could just, within this agenda, you could do $100,000. Either you have insurance or you pay the fee. And for reference, think about it. Annual stall rent for a 50-foot vessel, $40.48, roughly $2,000 in mortgage. If you just made that a dollar, it's $50. So... Mm-hmm. That's not a significant amount of money we're talking about. So maybe the first year we generate $15,000 per that surcharge, and we bank that for derelict vessel disposal. Over the course of 10 years, you get $150,000. And hopefully nothing happens over that time, and then we can make the fee zero.
One thing we have to make clear to the public, when we talk about surcharge per foot, are we talking per month or per year? It would be per month, correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. It does say per month?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Assembly Member Morrison.
So this would put a per foot surcharge on any size boat.
Not currently, as it's written.
Not currently.
No, yeah. but I have to agree with Chris that the smaller fiberglass are every bit as volatile as a 35-foot wooden boat. So, to be fair, it seems to me that it should apply for any boat that's tied up in our harbor, unless they have insurance. If they have insurance, good for them. They're a good business person. They're taking care of their asset. If they don't, well, and your boat sinks, you're out of boat. But we are slightly covered for pulling it up out of the water. Okay.
Madam Mayor.
Assembly
just
member.
To clarify.
Dalrymple.
And that would be per foot on it, just any
mm-hmm.
size boat. Sorry,
mm-hmm.
Whatever the smallest boat is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I agree.
Okay, we're going to do a lot of amending unless we throw it back to the borough manager. And
well, actually, I'll throw it out there.
amendment or
I'm going to amend this.
You're going to amend it.
I'm going to amend.
I'll take one amendment at a time.
Yeah, I'm going to amend it all in one shot.
No,
okay?
You're not.
I'm going to try it. We'll see how this works out. I want to amend this to reduce the $300,000 to $100,000 liability charge, including salvage.
Okay, stop there. You move to amend. I need a second. Oh, okay. Yeah, we can allow, but let's do you want to put your amendment on the table yet?
He's a boat owner. I'd like to hear from him.
Would you like to make a comment? Do you want to stand up at the podium and give us your name?
Okay. Well, thank you for letting me speak. I got in here late, and I forgot about the meeting. But, you know, you're talking about a $300,000 policy for a float. You know, there's boats tied up in some of the harbors where their float isn't worth $300,000. You know, the new floats they're great. But there's some docks in here that need a lot of work. You're talking about insurance policies. I've been on the Port Commission for 25 years. Well, 23 years, and then ad hoc committees and everything, 25 years. And every time this got brought up, we just kind of dropped it. And I'm not in favor of making a mandatory insurance. My suggestion is if you could raise the rates, a percentage, and set that into a designated fund just for this, you know, for dock replacement or damage or whatever, and just set, I don't know, what he could figure out, you know, the numbers that we would need, but make a small increase in the mortgage and then have a designated fund in that, not to be touched by general maintenance or anything else. And then if there is, you know, a boat that causes damage any kind of harbor facilities, then it could come out of that fund. I mean, if a transit boat comes to town, what are you going to do? Can we tie up for the evening? Oh, you got insurance? Nope. You know, send them off. And we have a lot of transit fishermen in town. And, you know, that might only be up here a month, 2 months, and then they end up putting their boat on the beach. If you raise the mortgage and have a percentage out of that, I think that would be fair because they'd be paying for it for their time in the water, and when they're up on the beach, then they're up on the beach. And there's an awful lot of boats in the harbor that are wood. And trying to get insurance on a wooden boat right now is not impossible, but it's pretty close. And one of the best kept boats, or used to be one of the best kept boats, is over 100 years old now. And there is no way you could get insurance on that boat. So I'm just asking you to reconsider this whole insurance thing, simplify it, just raise rates and set aside a fund out of that and cover it that way. I think it'd be a lot simpler. And as far as insuring down to a certain size, when the state imposed auto insurance on us, they didn't say anybody in a pickup truck in a Suburban get insurance and Volkswagens go free. I mean, every boat is a potential damager. They all burn, they all sink, they all have problems. So it should be from, you know, the bottom to the top, not just down to 30-footer. So I'm just asking you to step back, reconsider, and maybe there's a simpler way.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for that input. All right, I'll go to Assemblymember Morrison.
I think the idea of, I'm going to restate what I think is fair. It's just a flat fee increase per foot on any boat that's in the harbor. That goes into a dedicated fund. But the other thing I think is a really good idea is an annual boat inspection. Now, I know that increases the workload for the harbor. But if you've got people putting in campfires for heat in their boat, or you've got, well, yeah, you know, it could happen,
yeah,
or faulty chargers or whatever, and that could be, I know that that's going to make a new list of things to check off for the harbor, but it's something maybe we can look at down the line, you know, it's during the winter, when it, maybe when it's slower, we can get some of that kind of thing done. And they have to pass the inspection, and whatever you find, they have to fix. So that's probably a code change, though, or,
yeah,
or
that
something huge.
Would be more liability on the city, too. Mm-hmm. You know, if you declare a boat safe and it's not.
Yep.
But anyway, did you have something, Assemblymember Otteson?
Just like Mason pointed out, basically, this covers that. There is a, if you don't want insurance, you have a flat fee, and I think that's the way to go. If somebody doesn't want insurance, then we do have a flat fee. But the people that have insurance already currently or would like to get more insurance does not have to pay that fee.
Okay, and maybe the only issue you may have is with the $300,000 threshold.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, otherwise you think this is all right?
Yeah.
Did Borough Manager Villarma, did you have a question, comment?
No, I was just going to propose three amendments. One would be to reduce coverage to $100,000 for liability, and then the second being the restriction of funds for the surcharge, and three, getting rid of the vessel size restriction.
The length, okay. Does that sound like we're going in the right direction, Assembly? I mean, we have to go through the amendments, yeah, but
I think Assembly we are Member going. I agree with what Mr. Otteson is saying, because it addresses what you're saying. If you have insurance, you don't have the fee. If you don't, you have the fee. So rather than attacking every person on the fee chart, which you would be proposing, I have insurance. I don't want you to jack my fee for... You see, I'd rather have someone else pay that, you know, 50 cents a foot a month or whatever it is, rather than jack my fee to pay for derelict vessels that I don't have. So I don't like that idea. I don't like the idea of just raising rates to put it into a fund, because that doesn't help me.
Yeah.
One thing that Steve had mentioned that I'd forgotten prior was, you know, if you're paying the surcharge, and say you have a limit seiner and it sinks and you pay the surcharge, you don't have salvage insurance, so what if he just walks away? Right.
Because all he's got to say is, well, I paid my surcharge. See ya. I mean.
Oftentimes well, 90% of the time we lose that battle because we, you know, end up going down the legal route. We incur a bunch of legal fees, and then we have to front the cost for the salvage and try to throw a lien on them. And it's, you know.
You can't protect against everything. No. It's impossible.
No, just put that out for
right. Yeah.
Because I mean, we're trying to do something to recoup us a little bit of money here, but you can't look into the future and say this might happen or this may not happen or whatever. You're not going to combat that, and we know that. I mean, even if I have insurance, I can make one phone call and say I don't want insurance, and the next day I know my boat's a derelict and it sinks. You're not going to know in one day whether I canceled my insurance or not, and I could walk away.
Well, and we also have ratepayers who are in arrears, and sometimes several years until we act on it, and so we have zero coverage from those people. So we need to act on that a lot quicker. That brings up a whole other.
Well, I think actually that our tire master has been really up on that lately.
Oh, yeah, but so. We still have write-offs that I guess that's the price of doing business. But Assemblymember Morrison, do you have a comment?
My opinion is just a flat fee that is set aside on any boat that's in the harbor. And if you have insurance, good for you, because who's going to go around and check? Are you going to do it on a yearly basis to see if they have kept their insurance payments up on their boat? I mean, I see it as a bookkeeping, policing nightmare.
If we're on the policy, we'll get notice that they cancel.
Okay. If that's a stipulation, it then
is listed.
Okay. Yeah. Well, yeah, I see that, but.
It is. What else? What are we not thinking of?
Yeah.
What are the unintended consequences? All right. Let's entertain some amendments and work through this. It's a good discussion. This is a tough one. And it's going to be tough, too, because we're going to set the surcharge at another meeting.
Well, Mayor?
Assemblymember Powell?
Why can't we add the surcharge right now?
Well, we would do that by resolution. We can publicly state it. Mm-hmm.
But we can't set it.
But we can't set it because we set it by resolution with a public hearing. So the public still has input. I would like to do it all in one, but we can't this meeting. All right, Assemblymember Powell, I stifled you on your amendment. Are you ready to make?
I'd like to make a motion to amend, drop the $300,000 to $100,000 for the fee.
Second.
Okay, so we have an amended by Powell, second by Odison, and this is to drop the liability coverage value of $300,000 to include salvage down to $100,000. Is there any discussion on that amendment? Assemblymember Dalrymple.
And would the 29-foot length still?
Well, that's going to be another amendment. We're going to do these. We're not going to chain them together.
All right.
We're going to do it clean. Any other questions on this amendment? All right. Full vote on the amendment, please.
Assemblymember Dalrymple.
Yes.
Powell.
Yes.
The board.
Yes.
Robbins.
Yes.
Sorry. Was that me?
Yes.
Yes.
Odison.
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert.
Yes.
I'd like to make another amendment to this to drop the 29-foot and make it from
0 foot to whatever feet we have in the harbor.
In other words, strike in excess of 29 feet in length?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'll second that.
All right. So amendment by Powell, second by Morrison. Is there anywhere else where they mention the length overall? They don't. Anywhere else in this? That's the only place they mention that. Does the assembly understand the amendment? Any discussion? All right, poll vote please on this amendment.
Assembly members, Howe?
Yes.
The board?
Yes.
Robbins?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
Audison?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes.
The next one, I'm going to have to go to the city manager on what you were else. You said three.
Yep. So I would look at item number 2 under 1405025.
Yep.
And under item 2, I would add all surcharge monies received will be restricted for the purpose of addressing derelict vessel disposal / salvage. Vessel salvage.
My question to that is, could not put that into when we come up with the fee?
Not necessarily, because the fee would just be represented on the schedule.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's somewhat limited on how you can describe the fee in the box.
Right.
So.
And we want that embedded in the code.
Okay, so I'll make an amendment to this to make all fees and rates for this collection of the fund to be restricted for salvage and harbor.
Derelict vessel disposal.
Derelict vessel disposal.
Okay. Amendment, second by DeBoard. Right. Did you get that, Mr. Marshall? It may need a little bit of wordsmithing on that. And where will this be in the code, borough manager?
Say that one more time.
Where will the statement, his third amendment, be?
So it'll be under item
B.
Yeah, so it'll be 1405025, general mortgage conditions and restrictions, under item B2. So that's the surcharge paragraph.
Okay. Yeah. So it's going to be, all right. And that may need to be a little bit of wordsmith. Is that all right with you?
That's fine.
All right. Every assembly member, you understand the amendment? Okay. Poll vote, please.
Some members, DeBoard?
Yes.
Robbins?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
Audison?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. And now the main motion as multiply amended. Is there any question on that? Poll vote, please.
Assembly members, Robbins?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
Audison?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
DeBoard?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes.
Don't
good assembly.
Don't believe it.
Good working through that. All right, item B, resolution number 06-24-1867 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, amending the FY 2024 general fund budget by appropriating $808,533 from general fund unrestricted fund balance to the fire department to address landslide expenditures incurred as a result of the 11.2 miles of Movia Highway landslide.
Move to approve resolution number 06-24-1867.
Second.
Okay. Motion by Morrison, second by Robbins. Administrative report on this, please.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Mayor. This is mainly a housekeeping item. $808,000 in landslide expenditures incurred outside of in-kind labor that was provided by the borough. So those payroll costs are also being reimbursed, but with the amount of turnover employee retirements we had, we actually kind of compensated that throughout the year for each respective department. So we don't need to amend each salaries and wages and employer costs for each department. We're just seeking amendment for materials and supplies, non-capital equipment, professional services, and capital equipment. So obviously the more material expense incurred was the professional services we utilized for excavation, debris removal, and the SAR operations that were conducted out of the landslide. We're working through the FEMA reimbursement process. Should be another couple months. We often get changed hands on. The advisor that you work for with FEMA often changes over to a different project, so you got to brush them up on the new project and get them up to speed. So oftentimes it drags on a bit.
Yeah. But actually, it's a very quick reimbursement if that happens. Unusually quick.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And for the public, all the expenses are itemized in our agenda.
That's correct.
Any discussion, assembly? All right, poll vote, please.
Assembly members Morrison.
Yes.
Audison.
Yes.
Honorable.
Yes.
Powell.
Yes.
Lord.
Yes.
Robbins.
Yes.
Yes. Item C, resolution number 06-24-1869 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, amending the FY 2024 budget in the Residential Construction Fund by accepting revenue from the sale of the old Wrangell Medical Center and real property as described as Lot A, Block 54, in the amount of $200,000.
Move to approve resolution number 06-24-1869.
Second.
Okay. Motion by Audison, second by Morrison. An administrative report.
So really briefly, I kind of touched on this in the borough manager's report, but those funds have not been wired yet. The prospective buyer, Wayne Johnson of the old hospital, is actually going through an election right now, so there's a lot going on. He will be in town on the 20th of June. We have some finalizing, we have to finalize some negotiating on the adjacent six lots as prescribed in the purchase and sale agreement. So we're going to wait until he gets up here to finalize this. This is prematurely, you know, accepting the funds and describing where they're going to go. The default is the Residential Construction Fund because the intent of that property is to do multifamily development or multifamily residential.
Okay. Any comments or questions? Assembly Member Dalrymple.
Madam Mayor, I approve very much accepting the fee. I'm just questioning that we should dedicate it to that fund. I don't know if it would be something I want to, you know, hold it in arrears, but we may need it for a higher purpose, which I don't know. But I guess we could move that as well later. But there may be additional over costs on water, sewer. Maybe there's some significant road issues or utilities under them. And again, I guess we have the ability to move it. That's my only concern is to dedicate that right now, but absolutely to put it into a fund that is there for the future.
Correct. Assembly Member DeBoard.
So I would like to try to amend this,
okay,
and then discuss more if it gets seconded. I'd like to, and I'm going to read this so I get it correctly. I'd like to make a motion to amend the resolution to change the allocation for accepting the revenue from $200,000 to the Residential Construction Fund to allocating $200,000 to the Park and Recreation Department fund budget and restricting the funds to be used for the purpose of constructing a new playground or replacing existing playground equipment.
I'll second it.
All right, so we have an amendment made by DeBoard, seconded by Morrison. Discussion. Assembly Member DeBoard.
Okay, so a few things on this. So first of all, when I was on the assembly in 2018, 2019, we were working on a new playground for Angerman's. And I was pretty fresh, pretty new, was pretty excited, and then I got dropped. So this has been literally a next year, kick it down the road, ever since I was on here the first time. And, you know, it's been a long time going. I know you want it to go to the Residential Construction Fund with the alder top idea, but one of the playgrounds that would likely be fixed in this would be the Shoemaker Playground, which is literally right across the street from it. So it's not directly going to it, but indirectly it would be helping with that build. It's a one-time investment, so for the public who wasn't here at the workshop on the budget, and Lucy told us about $80,000 to $100,000 to redo each playground. This would give us two new playgrounds, hopefully Angerman's and then Shoemaker would be the two I would hope for. But one-time investment, and what I mean by that, there's not the continual staffing that's required, like at the pools, to maintain the pool, to maintain the weight facility. It would literally just be build it, mow the grass. Also, the time, even if this were to pass, we're looking at maybe acquiring it this year. It would be a next year thing before it could even go in. I just think that it would really help recruit, maintain younger kids. The playgrounds we have are in pretty bad state of disrepair. I think the one's older than I am. I think it'd also be a good legacy project for the funding that comes from the hospital. Mm-hmm. And then along with that, the buyer, Mr. Johnson, had said in the paper that, you know, people that were wanting to take things from the facility for themselves was fine, but if they wanted to take it and then resell it, that he would like to see that money dedicated to some type of a structure, and he actually said a playground in the paper. So, and then if this were to pass, my hope would be that it would get some more community engagement. You know, maybe there's five or six playgrounds that are part, Lucy comes up with, and then the people vote on which ones they would like to see. I don't know. To me, it's been a long time coming. Grand scheme of things, it's not a really huge expense, but it's a really good return on our investment for two pieces of, talk about maintaining equipment, right? I mean, they're well past due to be replaced. So I'll leave it at that.
Thank you. I agree. And Assembly Member Morrison agrees. Assembly Member Powell.
So, don't disagree with everything he said. I disagree with accepting money that we have not accepted. Okay? If he's going to be here on the 20th, I think we should wait till our 24th meeting to accept these funds. And then we can discuss where these funds might go. But we have not received these funds. Okay? I, being fiscally responsible, that's a weird way to do things, is we to have a resolution to receive funds that we have not received. I think this is a very slippery slope.
However, we have done it in the past, especially with federal funds. Yeah.
This is a private sale.
Yeah.
And that's my problem with it. It's a private sale. Or he could just say tomorrow, guess what? I don't want to do it. I just have a really bad problem with accepting funds that we have not accepted. I mean, we have not received it. Not accepted, but received. So it's kind of hard to say where these funds are going to go. I mean, it's not making no big deal, because if we don't get the funds, we don't get the park. I mean, it's not, I understand that, but I don't know. It's bothersome to me. It's like putting the cart before the horse, you know.
Okay. You can postpone, and that would override the amendment.
I would move to postpone this until our 24th meeting, when we have actually accepted these funds.
25th?
Our 25th meeting.
Okay. Or when the funds become available.
Well, the next meeting is when we accept after. It.
Yeah.
Okay. But save your amendment.
Let me say all that just to...
Well, this is all right. This is... exploring all of our options. We have a motion to postpone. Is there any until time certain?
You need a second.
June, yeah.
Second.
Yeah, June second. Okay. So motion, amendment to postpone. Motion to postpone by Powell, second by Dalrymple. Any discussion? And this is time certain, June 25. Correct?
That's correct.
Okay. 2024.
What's two more weeks after 5 or 6 years?
Yeah.
Next year.
Next year.
Yeah.
Good point.
All right.
Poll vote, please.
Okay. All right. Seven members, Austin.
Yes.
Dalrymple.
Yes.
Powell.
Yes.
Board.
Yes.
Robbins.
Yes.
Morrison.
Yes.
Mayor Gilbert.
Yes. You're doing very well. attorney's file is available for review. Item 15, executive session to evaluate borough manager and discuss the goals and expectations of the borough manager.
I move pursuant to 44.62.310(c)(2) that we recess into executive session to discuss matters that may tend to prejudice the reputation and character of any person, specifically to evaluate the borough manager and discuss the goals and expectations of the borough manager.
Second.
Okay. Motion by Robin, second by Odison. Any discussion? Okay. Hearing none. Poll vote, please.
Senate Member Dalrymple.
Yes.
Powell.
Yes.
Ford.
Yes.
Robbins.
Yes.
Morrison.
Yes.
Odison.
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert.
Yes. Assembly, we're going to recess into executive session at 8:54, and I'll give you 5 minutes.